Welcome to Luce on April 21st, 2024. Tickets and info at festivalnuitdafrique.com.
Good evening. It's just after 6 o'clock. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between, professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known as Jojage in the Ganyagaha language and Muniang in Anishinaabemowin, where we spell theater with an R-E at the end in English and in French. I'm your host, Sarah Day, live in studio on a rainy Thursday, April the 18th, 2024. Yeah, it's a wet evening in Montreal, but let's stay in dry and cozy as we survey the coming week in theater and in art. On tonight's show, as you probably know, there are some very strong female characters in William Shakespeare's canon, but it's always fascinating to remember that it actually took decades before women could actually take on those roles on stage. Thy Woman's Weeds is a brand new play from Montreal playwright Erin Shields, who specializes in revamping classic texts, often with a feminist angle. Her new show gives new life to seven Shakespearean heroines, including some of your favorites. I think of we're going to be hearing from Desdemona. We're going to be hearing from Ophelia. We'll talk with one of the seven Montreal actors who will be putting that on in just a matter of moments. Then the clowns come to town. We're going to speak with two performers from out of town, one from LA, the other from Vancouver, about their coming solo shows at the Montreal Clown Festival. We've got Gender Bending, Finding Yourself, and we've got a taxi driver who's just trying to fit in. The festival launches a week from tonight, and then a Sisyphean show, One Light, Five Tons of Rocks on stage, in a presentation that questions not just the person being punished, but the punisher as well. I will speak with the artist Gabrielle Charlebois-Plante after 6:30, and then the artist paying homage to the life and career of French singer and photographer Brigitte Fontaine. Isabelle Rancier will close out her show with her comments about Carré de Cendre, which will be at Théâtre Outremont a week from tonight. You can follow us for updates, images of all our guests this evening, and more on Instagram at UpstageCKUT. What you can see this weekend, it is the final chance to catch the very excellent 15 Dogs over at the Siegel Center. A very big mail to the team at Open House. The Infinite Theater show launches tonight and this weekend, running until nearly the end of April. They are based at Factory Studios, which is near Papineau Metro Station, a new venue for me. I'm excited to see that this weekend. Théâtre West End is going to present one of their Morality Bites play readings on Friday evening. Tizri Dunia is also going to be doing some developing play reading. And Le Patin Libre is putting on Murmuration this week and weekend at Arena Saint-Louis in the Plateau. There's so much to check out. Let's get into it. Our first guest this evening is the very talented Lenny Parker. She is one of the seven Montreal performers who will be taking on a variety of heroines from Shakespeare's canon in Thy Woman's Weeds. It's getting its world premiere at Centaur on April 23rd, which is Shakespeare's birthday, or the date that we think he might have been born or baptized. It runs until May the 12th and closes out the season at the Centaur. And I'm a big Shakespeare nerd, so I'm always keen to see how the work can be reinvented. The show's also very interesting because it's a team effort. It's a collaboration with Table d'Hôte Theatre as well as Repercussion Theatre, the home for Shakespeare in the Park, with Amanda Kellogg getting involved. But joining us on the line right now is Lenny Parker, one of the seven performers. Good evening, Lenny. Welcome to Upstage.
Good evening. evening. Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. You are part of a very strong cast. I really enjoy seeing you as a performer on stage. So I think this is going to be a real treat. And if you don't mind, let's start off with the rest of the team, because we have Julie Tomiko Manning. We're going to have Dina Aziz. Tell me about maybe what it was like for you as a performer as the cast was coming together and you were finding out who you're going to be performing with.
Very exciting because I get to work with a couple of people that I haven't worked with before who are younger actors, Espoir Segbeya and Joy Ross Jones. So Joy, we had done the reading of this a few years back, but Espoir, it's my first time working with her. She's a National Theater School graduate, and it's a pleasure. I love these women. I love all of the women. They're strong. I've worked with Julie, Felicia, Wadona, and Dina before, so it's just like coming home, but into a very exciting show. I'm super excited about it. It's a lot of fun.
I don't want to seem like too much of a fangirl, but you know, early on when the season was, you know, all the theaters are launching their seasons now, so the imagery for Thy Woman's Weeds has already been out there for several months, and you're all in the photo, the main image. You can see that on our Instagram page. And so, like, this cast was clear kind of from the outset. And again, don't want to sound like too much of a fangirl, but as I read through the list, I go, yes. Oh, I love her. Oh, she's really good. I love seeing her.
I know. It's great. And Amanda Kellogg, who's our director, has really brought together a bunch of women who can do a lot of things and are so different. That's what I love about it. And we've been cast. We're all playing multiple Shakespeare roles, but each character has an arc through that. We play the actresses playing the characters, so we've all got these really interesting arcs. And I have to say, the script is, we've been studying it for weeks and months, and I keep finding new things. It's never done. The work is never done. It's like Shakespeare, you know? I've fallen back in love with Shakespeare. I did a show last year. I did Rome with Sibylline Théâtre at UZNC. We did the 7.5-hour Shakespeare, all the Roman plays in French. And so I feel really fortunate to be having another stab, no pun intended, at some more Shakespeare. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's joyful to be there.
The Précis reads like a who's who of Shakespeare's heroines. We've got Lady Capulet, we have Juliet, of course, Goneril from King Lear is one of the mean or terrible daughters, Ophelia and Lady Macbeth, of course, and Desdemona, who here needs an intimacy coach. But it's as you were kind of hinting at there, it's not necessarily about these characters, but about the people performing them. Could we do a small history lesson? Like, because for a long time, Lenny, you would know this because you've done a lot of Shakespeare. Women were not playing these roles to the original audiences.
You mean women weren't allowed to play these roles?
Yeah.
Yes. No, women, it was illegal. It was actually illegal to have women on stage, which in Shakespeare's time. So, yeah, these and we talk about this in the play. It's great. It's great. You know, Rosalind has a line. You know, trying to look at a man who's your best friend, you know, who's a woman dressed up as a man in, you know, portraying it is all very confusing. And we break that down. We go into what this means for us now playing, you know, playing the male roles, but also playing these very famous female roles that were only ever played by boys or young men, you know, Ophelia, Desdemona, roles like that, Juliet, played by young men who now, you know, we are starving for this. We love playing this, you know, and what's interesting is we get to play snippets of it in this play. So we just get enough. And then you feel like, I want more, you know, and that's the big question in this play. When are we going to get more of this? You know, I think nowadays we're lucky because a lot of the women are playing the male roles. So we flipped it, right? You've got women playing Hamlet. You've got women playing Macbeth. You've got women playing Julius Caesar. We did a Caesar with Amanda years ago. So it seems easy. It seems natural, you know?
That is the voice of Lenny Parker, who is going to be performing in Thy Woman's Weeds. It is opening next week on Shakespeare's birthday and running until May the 12th at Centaur. So as you were saying, each person on stage, there's seven of you, you're all playing different roles. Can you tell me about what characters you're bringing to the stage? Do you have like a main person that you're following and then you pop up as other characters?
I'm Goneril.
Okay.
My main role is probably Goneril. There's two of the Lear rehearsals that we're doing. And as well, I have a monologue as the actress playing Goneril. And I have an audition as the actress playing Goneril. It's really interesting. So that's my main through line. And I have little snippets of Queen Margaret, and little snippets of Gertrude and Viola from Twelfth Night. I'm far too old to play her, but it's fun. You know, I think my character says at one point about Goneril, I'm almost too old to play her too, you know?
Yeah, well, that's
fun. We have bucket lists, right? As actors, you have your bucket lists for Shakespeare characters. So, you know, you get to play them and then you move on and, okay, I'm too old for that now, you know? So you leave it to the younger actors.
Viola is a real heroine who gets to do a lot of fun stuff, but Goneril is a real villain. Tell me about playing her.
The actor playing her. Yeah, she wants it really badly. This actress is really driven and she loves, she's similar to me. She's really close to me. She loves what she does. She's happiest when she's on stage. She wants a crack at the bigger roles. You know, she and Reagan, there's a healthy competition there between the sisters, but also between the actresses, between Reagan, you know, the actress Dina playing actress Reagan and actress Goneril. So it's feeling all very real. It's feeling all very method right now, you know. She's a villain, but she's also a circumstance. She's where she is, and she's positioning herself politically so that she can survive, which is most of these Shakespearean women have to make these choices. Queen Margaret has no choice but to marry leave France and come to England and marry a king for survival. This is what all of these women are doing. They're trying to survive and position themselves so that their children are not put in peril. That's a lot of it as well, right? So, you know, Queen Margaret talks to Henry and, you know, I have that speech that, you know, ah, wretched man, would I had died a maid and never seen thee, never borne thee a son, seeing thou hast proved so unnatural a father. You know, these are real. These women dig in. I mean, I will say that for Shakespeare, they're strong women, they're beautiful women. But yeah, I'm really hoping someday, I'm older though, that I would get to play Goneril for real. I would love it. Yeah.
I feel like you're going to add a lot of nuance to this role that we, you know, they're such mean girls and we don't necessarily get to find out too much why Goneril and Reagan are so kind of icky and terrible. But you can really chew into that. I'm wondering for you, six other performers on stage, is there an interpretation so far that you really enjoy watching or you think really stands out from all the characters that are on stage?
I love watching Felicia Shulman as the ghost mother. I love it so much. I think it's beautiful. I think it's really, she's the one that she's controlling things from beyond. She's bringing us all together. It's a real camaraderie in this play, the way it is written, and Amanda's vision for this play, and also amongst us as cast members. So we're super, super supportive. And that's the whole, and that's the crew and our stage management team. And we're really, we're all rooting for each other. And we're all pushing each other to, you know, give those great performances. That's what I like. I like the support of it all. So there's no men on stage. So a lot of the bullshit is kind of like, I'll say this on the radio. When I first read the play, we had our first day, first reading, and I got to say, I was still filtering this through the male gaze, which I had to like bend that like Beckham and undo that and be non-apologetic about the material. And I had to slough that off in the first few days of rehearsal and go dig into this and be proud of this and and live it fully and let the audience enjoy it and live it fully with you. So you release into that and then you can really fly with it, right? I think that's what Erin has facilitated doing, and she's posing so many questions in this play. It's unbelievable that we come away sort of scratching our heads and going, oh my God, where are we going? Where are we getting to as women? And, you know, tied into a love-hate relationship with Shakespeare, right? You know, for what he's given us, but what he hasn't, what he's taken away from us. You know?
Yeah, that's why his work is still so eternal, because it might be from over 500 years ago, but it still speaks to today, and yet we can still criticize it and think about it critically as well as enjoying it. It's so easy to do both.
She does that. Yeah, she does that in the play. So there's some criticism, you know, they break this down with The Taming of the Shrew. It's great. Because we really need to hear these things. We really need to understand that, you know. So Goneril, you know, I always say this when I'm working, you got to love your characters. You've got to embrace them, and you've got to root for, you've got to be there. You've got to be their person. So you, whoever they are, and realize their circumstances and where they got to. And, you know, Shakespeare's plays, the theme is, a lot of his themes are revenge, you know. So there's a healthy dose of that. There's a bit of beautiful revenge by putting on this play, you know?
Absolutely fabulous. I was already on board, but now I'm paddling. I'm on board, and I'm so excited. So we'll look for your Goneril, and we'll also look for Felicia's Ghost Mother, because that's your number one pick to look for. Lenny, it's such an honor to have you on the show. Thank you so much
for coming on. Thank you so much. I didn't know you were a Shakespeare nerd. That's amazing. We'll talk later. We'll talk day after the show, and we'll dig in, okay?
Card-carrying member of the Bardolaters Club at Royal West Academy.
Wow. Okay.
When I was in high school.
Amazing.
Okay, I will look for you, Lenny. I will look for you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Bye.
That is the eminently talented Lenny Parker, who's going to be one of the seven performers on stage, the Shakespearean Pleiads, let's call them, in Thy Woman's Weeds. It's by Erin Shields, who is one of our finest revampers of classic texts. It was interesting to note that her reinvention of Milton's Paradise Lost was the last show pre-pandemic at the Centaur, some 4 years ago. Isn't that wild? But now, in the present time, you can get your tickets for Thy Woman's Weeds, opening on Shakespeare's birthday, April 23rd, next week. Tuesday, and then running until May the 12th, centaurtheater.com, 514-288-3161. And if you love Shakespeare in the Park, this is directed by Repercussion Theater's Amanda Kellogg. And it's also a co-pro with Repercussion and Table d'Hôte Theater, or not co-pro, but in partnership with. You are listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. I'm your host, Sarah DeAy. We will take a look at the Montreal Clown Festival. Two out-of-town clowns coming in to perform. Of course, there's some local acts as well. We'll get into that in just a moment. Musician Louis Dafric invites you to the gala of the 17th edition of Ciné d'Or de la Musique du Monde. See you on Tuesday, April 25th at La Tulipe from 8 p.m. onwards. Come out and support your favorite artists to help them win the Ciné d'Or d'Argent and des Bronzes. The Ciné d'Or de la Musique du Monde is a celebration that brings the cultures of the world together. For more information, visit cinedor.com.
Les Productions Nuit d'Afrique presents Malian superstar Oumu Sangaré, who has influenced the likes of Beyoncé and Alicia Keys. Oumu Sangaré will perform an exclusive concert at M. Toulouse on April 21st, 2024. Tickets and info at festivalnuitdafrique.com.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. Every Thursday from 6 to 7, we take a look at the world of theater. I'm your host, Sarah Day. Still to come, we will meet Isabelle Rancier, who's doing a tribute to Brigitte Fontaine. Don't know who that is? We'll find out, and so will I. We'll find out about this French chanteuse. And also Gabriel Charlebois-Plante on his own homage to Sisyphus, the legend, taking a look not just at the person being punished, but the punisher as well. No punishments here as we look at the Montreal Clown Festival. This is one of my favorite independent fests because I love clowning. We have a wonderful wealth of talent here. A lot of people developing and working on their clown and their baby clown acts. We also, for the festival, have people coming in from out of town to perform. Joining me on the line is Candy Roberts, who is coming in from Vancouver to perform her show Larry as one of the closing performances on Sunday, April 29th. Hello, Candy.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us. And also on the phone with us, Amrita Dhaliwal, who will be performing at the Big, Big Deal Gala Cabaret on the Friday, and then her solo show, Driving Around, on Saturday, April 27th in the afternoon. Hello, Amrita. Welcome to Upstage.
Thank you for having me.
And we're reaching you in Los Angeles, which is very cool.
That's right. We're both, Candy and I are both on the West Coast.
It is a rainy evening here in Montreal, so I'm wondering if it's raining in Vancouver and if it's really sunny in LA. Is my gut feeling right?
Well, I'm on the Sunshine Coast right now in Powell River, and it's absolutely gorgeous. I'm out looking at the ocean right now.
Oh, and I love that. Okay, we're traveling there mentally. Now we're going to mentally travel back to the Jésus on de Blury, which is going to be playing host to much of the theater, much of the content at the festival. Mainline also lending a hand 1 week from tonight on Thursday evening with the opening event. Well, I want to know about both of you and how you came to clown work. Amrita, what was your journey like?
You know, I think in a very clown way, I stumbled into it by accident. I went to a presentation that Paula Coletto, who actually passed about a year ago, that she was my mentor as well. She was giving in Chicago at the infamous Red Moon Theater, and it was a presentation on masks. So it included Buffon, neutral mask, character mask, and then also the red nose. And she asked for a volunteer, and I jumped up there in front of like 200 people. And it was one of those experiences that was life-changing. Like, I didn't know what it was that we did or what we were doing at all, but I was like, I need to know everything that I can about this art form.
What was it that drew you to it, though?
You know, to that point, so much of my journey as an artist was about studying and taking on the voices and stories of others. And clown in particular was this one that said, we want to hear your impulses and your voice, especially devising theater. And I think that that was quite like revolutionary for me as an individual at that time. And looking back, like I can see how it was so liberating and empowering, like that my voice or my impulses, without the mask of a character, without someone else's words, like those could potentially be enough, that's what the room wanted. So it was, it just, it was profound in the simplest and biggest way.
Yeah, it's so interesting that it really kind of brings honesty and realness to the surface, because you're working with real elements in your own personality and your own story, kind of bringing that to the fore. And Candy, we can hear you humming and almost nodding in agreement there. So I'm also curious about your clown journey as well. Amrita went to a mask workshop and kind of felt a calling. Was it a similar experience for you?
Well, you know, it was meeting a new friend who I just loved her ability to fall and roll. She was always laughing and crying, and I was just so insecure and self-conscious. And I was like, how did she get this way? And she was telling me about her clown journey, and so I looked into it, and it literally changed my life. All the things that Amrita was saying also about just the ability to be with all the mistakes and all the failure and roll with it and laugh about it and comment on it and just be okay with everything that is there, and then creating this shared space with a group that is purely magical. And I was hooked also, and then I just kept going deeper and deeper.
That is the voice of Candy Roberts, and we also have Amrita Dhaliwal, who's on the line, and they're bringing their respective shows to the festival. So we're talking about life-changing, a magical kind of draw to the art itself. Now, Amrita, you're doing an interesting solo show on the Saturday in the afternoon at Le Jésus. This is a mix of... it is a very American show, I would say, where you've got a character about a taxi driver who's new to L.A. Did I get that right?
I mean, the show is driving around, because when I was originally devising it, I was, one of my development runs was actually in a bus. So I was playing off of that, because originally in the early iteration, I was a bus driver. Anyways, the title stuck, but it's really an old man of a character. but there is a metaphorical theme of that we are kind of traversing all these different areas of our society. It's funny that you said it's very American, because I just got back from India, so I'm like so acutely sensitive to like what is American, and I would agree with that. I think it is a very American show. Don't let that frighten you, Canadians.
No, I guess I just meant in the sense that it's maybe representing a time and space that might feel different for the audience. It's reflecting the fact that you're coming in from a different time and place. We feel like very close to Americans at times, but the story itself, that's just the impression that I got from it. So that is Driving Around, bus driver to taxi driver at Le Jésus. And Candy, you're doing something that looks totally unhinged. I was pitched this as like gender bending Larry, and then there's this great photo of you with a very full beard, images of the both of you in character on our Instagram page at Upstage CKUT if you want to go check that out. So tell me about Larry.
Yeah, Larry is based on my family. It's like very much a true story of me growing up as a human conditioned as a femme in the 80s. So basically based on the men in my life around that era, which, you know, I come from a small town, and this Larry is from a small town where, like, these folks are the salt of the earth. They'll, you know, stop and help you fix your car, bring you a load of manure, but will also say some very sexist things without meaning harm, you know? Yeah, so, and it's very funny. There's a lot of idioms that are true that I copy what my brother says, basically things like fill your boots and whatever floats your boat kind of things. And this is a story of Larry's journey into discovering his own femininity that he has inside that he didn't know was there. It's a little bit of a left turn.
I love that. There's an image of you playing air guitar with a broom. You're also broom. Straddling
yeah.
straddling attire. Physicality is so important. And the last thing I want to ask, Amrita, for you, how does your character kind of interpret clown or come to life in a goofy way? And I'm thinking about how we might think of being in a car driving around as a taxi driver might be kind of static, whereas Candy's character is kind of walking all over stage and doing lots of little funny things. How does your character come alive physically?
Well, we're not really in a driving around per se. We're actually like you're invited into the metaphorical living room of the old man.
Okay.
Dr. D is the character's name. And so the whole show is really like we're playing a game. So it's very interactive. And there's a lot of like in that really clown way, the physicality of the body and play in that comedic sense. But it's also like ultimately what is so great about the clown is like the clown kind of makes a fool of themselves so that the room could like laugh also at themselves. So it's not at the expense of them, at the expense of me, we all get to have a laugh. And what we're really exploring is this, what I'm exploring in the show is this, like, for lack of a better word, like the cancel culture that we're in and how we're like so quick to judge one another. But what is beyond that? Like, what is our collective humanity? So it's in a way like, this is where it gets into a bit, I think, into the Buffon, where it like forces you to reckon with something, but it's so playful that it surprises you. And yeah, it stays in that world. But physical absurd, I invite anybody to kiss me at any point, which there have been covers over time.
Oh, I'm so sure. I'm actually looking at an image of you standing very close over the audience, and you can see in the audience, I'm not sure if that's what the ask is there, but the audience, some of them look like they're contemplating getting, taking you up on that.
Yeah, everyone wants a smooch by an old man, I promise you.
We're just about out of time, but for the both of you, what is it like to take these shows on the road, take them to a different audience on the other side of the continent, Amrita?
Oh gosh, it's so fun. For me, it's like we're unwrapping a gift together, so we get to discover what it is. And I kind of feel like the art of, like, the performance, live performance in a way, not to sound too precious about it, but it does feel sacred. And so, I really look forward to it, and also just, like, to learn about another culture and how someone else receives my play.
And Candy?
Yeah, so much fun. Larry is very much like a Campbell River, West Coast, Island fella, but he is recognized everywhere I've been. I've been all across Canada, and everyone's like, that's like my uncle up north. I've done the show in New Orleans, and everyone knew a Larry there, just a little bit different version. Same with Orlando, so which surprises me and delights me at the same time. Yeah, it is like unwrapping a present together. Definitely, nice way to put it.
Looking forward to unwrapping both of these presents when you come to town. I'm sure you guys are going to have an absolute blast getting to mingle with other clowns and with the audiences in Montreal. We're looking forward to having you here. Thank you.
Me too. Looking forward to seeing your show, Amrita.
Same, Candy. Thank you both.
That is the voices of Candy Roberts and Amrita Dhaliwal. You can catch both of their shows at the Montreal Clown Festival, which very excitingly is coming up a week from tonight. They're opening on Mainline Theatre with a show, and then most of the other programming will be happening at Le Jésus on Blurry Below St. Catherine. So Amrita is going to be part of the Big, Big Deal Cabaret on Friday evening, and then performing her solo show, Driving Around, about the taxi driver, in the afternoon of Saturday, the 27th at 3:30. And then Candy is going to close out the festival with her solo show, Larry, on Sunday evening at 7:30. Tickets and more information, head to mtlclownfest.com. You can also follow both of them online. Head to see Candy Roberts, I think, at candyroberts.com. And then Amrita's email is amritadhaliwal.com, and she's on Instagram at Amrita Ta, T-H-A at the end there. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM, and we still have a couple more interviews for you this evening. We are going to touch base with Brigitte Fontaine, or rather the woman making a show all about this French chanteuse. We will be next talking to Gabriel Charlebois-Plante, his homage to Sisyphus with 5 tons of rocks on stage at La Chapelle. We'll find out how that's going to get done in just a moment. Here's some Lissipi Isaac for you until we get back.
Association of Montreal and Indie Roots Records have come together to bring you Womban, an all-female artist showcase to bring ovarian cancer awareness to the community and to raise money for Ovarian Cancer Canada. On Friday, May 17th, 8 p.m. at the Jamaica Association of Montreal at 4065 Jean Talon West, Metro Namur. It's a free event, just donate. All funds going to Ovarian Cancer of Canada. For more info, 514-792-4775. This ad is sponsored by CKUT 90.3.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Sarah Day, and every Thursday from 6 to 7, we take a look at the world of theater. So far, we've done Shakespeare, we've done clowns. How about some Greek myth and some performance art? I'm about to chat with Gabriel Charlebois-Plante, whose show, Cette colline n'est jamais vraiment silencieuse, will be at La Chapelle starting on Monday, running until the 30th of April. It is a spin on Sisyphus, which, as a just a great reminder, originally a king, the founder of Ephyra, now known as Corinth, a devious tyrant, who was known for killing people just to show that he could do it. And this was a big kind of no-no to the gods because it showed a big lack of hospitality. And Sisyphus, of course, is legendarily sentenced to a very intense punishment, which means to roll an intense boulder up a hill repeatedly, because every time he gets to the top, it rolls back down. So a Sisyphean task is one of those things. We're in taxes season right now, and it might feel like a very Sisyphean kind of endeavor. Things that you do over and over again, or that feel like incredibly tedious. Gabriel, though, is taking a look at this idea of punishment, and not just the idea of the person who's being punished, but the punisher as well. His show has one light and 5 tons of rock on stage, and he joins me on the line. Good evening, Gabriel. Welcome to Upstage.
Hi, Sarah.
When did you first encounter the myth of Sisyphus? Were you a kid learning about different myths, or were you in university?
Pretty much, university or college. But I didn't fall in love with the Sisyphus at first. It was more when I was doing it. The Cid at La Chapelle in 2018. Mm-hmm. I thought how we work, the the sound of the interpretation in my plays really looks a nice way to talk about the Sisyphus. So it was more that show that inspired me to work around that myth, and I'm really working around that myth. It's not that we don't have any Greeks on stage. It's not like that. It's more a contemporary literature. Yeah,
because I was going to say, you go from La Corneille in that show, this Le Cid that you just mentioned, mm-hmm. all the way back to Greek myth, but this is meant to be a contemporary reinterpretation by your company, Création dans la Chambre. Mm-hmm. So tell me more about developing, so you get this idea while you're working on another show, and this kind of speaks to how a lot of these ideas might seem very simple, but can take years to kind of ferment and develop. So what are we seeing when we walk into La Chapelle, into this black box theater? What are we seeing as an audience?
Yeah, well, you see the rocks.
Yeah.
You see the five tons of rocks.
Where do the rocks come from?
Well, they come from, near Montreal. It's really like, it's river rocks. It's really like normal rocks. We tried a lot of different rocks. I went in Iceland, I went in Finland, I went in Havre-Saint-Pierre in Quebec to just like think and study rocks. We finally set our first rehearsal in Montrigo, where there's a famous rock like a place where there's a lot of rocks there. And it's really like the simple, normal rocks that were the best metaphor for a show, like the normal labor was the best thing.
Okay, but you are sourcing this from different places. This was a long journey. Okay, that's so fascinating. Okay, so you found the best rocks. Now you're developing the piece as well. So I cut you off as you were describing kind of the visuals of things. Go ahead.
Yeah, we don't really put like the mountain of Sisyphus on stage and the rock of Sisyphus on stage. It's not, we better love when the rock and the labor is in the actors, you know, as an interpretation, as how they say the text. So we only have like rocks, like a floor, and we have I don't know the word in English, but our corridor.
Sorry, what was that?
Corridor.
Yeah, a corridor, a hallway.
An alley, a hallway of two green wall, and the actors only need to like go upstage in the rocks between those two green wall, and they have their text to say as if they were Sisyphus, as if the text was the rock and the mountain.
Okay, fascinating. I'm speaking with Gabrielle Charlebois-Plante, who is the writer and director of Cette colline n'est jamais vraiment silencieuse, or This Hill is Never Really Quiet or Silent. It's at La Chapelle starting on Monday, running until the 30th of April. What were some challenges that you encountered as you were developing the show?
Well, the challenges. It's more about like creating how we work, you know. It's not we don't think theater as a simple thing, and as already constructing. So we really like try to work a really specific way of acting, and that specific way of acting with the labor of Sisyphus in the art of the actors was quite something to found. and of course, I mean, we start working on that play in 2020, so like the pandemic and everything. But yeah, we made a lot of workshops with a lot of different actors, and I found really like four really really good actors who are really performing. It's really their performance is all the show. It's really about them, you know. The casting is really really important that way.
The last thing I want to ask you, Gabrielle, is what do you hope the audience is going to take away from the show?
It doesn't seem like that, but it's really funny.
Yeah.
It's really funny. We really like laugh about our difficulties and our fatigue. We really laugh at things that bothers us. I think it's a really fun play, and also it's a like fun and sad play at the same time. So it's pretty much that.
Did you see Victor Pilon, the artist who did his version of Sisyphus at the Olympic Stadium? It was a totally different kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was moving. His Sisyphean task was to take a shovel, and it was motivated by grief. He was mourning the loss of his partner, moving basically one shovel at a time, dirt from one pile to the other. Did that inform your work at all?
I went there and I saw the performance, and I mean, it's really really moving, you know. But it's also not the take on Sisyphus that I was taking. We are really about laughing.
Yeah.
so it was really not.
I feel
the
like
play,
yeah,
you know?
the theme, the feeling is very different.
yeah. But it was so nice what he did, and moving, and the story behind, and everything. It was pretty special. What we are doing here, it's like it's more about everyday life. I mean, death is everyday life, but it's more about like why I lost my keys. Why God? I'm always lost my keys, you know. And we're laughing about the God that making us lost our keys, you know. So it's more like a comedy, you know.
It's been really a pleasure to speak with you. Yeah, I was just going to say, I know it's a totally different thing, but I was just so curious to know that there was two Sisyphean shows happening within so close to each other, because it is such an enduring theme. I can tell that your piece is going in a very, very different direction, as you're saying, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. Gabrielle, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
That is the voice of Gabriel Charlebois-Plante. He is the writer and director, the idea, the brain behind Cette colline n'est vraiment jamais silencieuse. So that is a performance that is going to be starting on Monday, running until the 30th at various times at La Chapelle Scène Contemporaine. 5 tons of rocks on stage that he's amazingly picked up from different places, including locally here, locally sourced rocks, and also from Iceland and other places in Europe. It's absolutely fascinating. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're going into the last couple of minutes of the show. I'll bring you a last conversation with an artist named Isabelle Rancier, who is doing an homage to an artist named Brigitte Fontaine. Just to get you in the mood, we're going to hear a little bit of Brigitte Fontaine's music. Here is Comme à la radio. We'll be back in just a moment.
Ce sera tout à fait comme à la radio. Ce ne sera rien, rien que de la musique. Ce ne sera rien, rien que des mots, des mots. Des mots comme à la radio. Ça ne dérangera pas, ça n'empêchera pas de jouer aux cartes. Ça n'empêchera pas de dormir sur l'autoroute. Ça n'empêchera pas de parler d'argent. Ce sera tout à fait comme à la radio. Ce ne sera rien, juste pour faire du bruit. Le silence est atroce. Quelque chose est atroce aussi. Entre les deux, c'est la radio. Tout juste un peu de bruit pour combler le silence. Tout juste un peu de bruit et rien de plus. Tout juste un peu de bruit, n'ayez pas peur, ce sera tout à fait. Entre les doigts, la garce. À 7 minutes, 5 vieilles dans un jardin public entameront la question de savoir s'il est -20 ou -5. À 7 minutes, des milliers et des milliers de gens penseront que la vie est horrible et ils pleureront. À 7 minutes, 2 policiers entreront dans une ambulance et ils jetteront dans la rivière un jeune homme blessé à la tête. À 7 minutes, une vieille dame ivre-morte gémira seule au dernier étage sous son lit et ne pourra plus bouger. À 7 minutes, un Espagnol sera bien content d'avoir trouvé du travail.
Listening to some music by Brigitte Fontaine, Comme à la Radio, a French artist born in Bretagne in 1939, 84 years old. Born on Saint-Jean-Baptiste, actually, June 24th, would go on to become an actor, a singer, a writer of novels and also songs, and had a very active career on stage as well. And I confessed I did not know very much about Brigitte Fontaine until this week when I got a note about a piece coming up at Théâtre Outremont for one night only, a week from tonight, April 25th, that looks into the work and the life of Brigitte Fontaine. It is called Carré de Cendres, or the Square of Ashes. Joining me on the line is the creator and the co-director, Isabelle Rancier, to tell us more about Brigitte and why she was so captivated by this artist that she created a show about her. Isabelle, welcome to Upstage.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being
here.
How
are you?
I'm well, thank you. You are a multidisciplinary artist. You specialize in a lot of different things. And so did Brigitte Fontaine as well. She's active in many different forms of art. Is that one of the reasons why you were drawn to her story?
Well, exactly. I'm very inspired by her work because she's been an actress when she was young, and after she did a lot of different kind of music and performance. And I'm very fascinated by her. This woman, she's a very like free spirit, and she still does album like more spoken word, and she's always creating, and she's 85 years old right now, and for me it's the first time that I'm going to do a creation about something that inspires me, and I wanted to start with her work because it's going to give me like a lot of strength to go on stage and just express myself by your words.
Tell me more about Brigitte and who she was. And who she is. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that in the past tense, but more about her life.
There, eh?
I'm so sorry. Yeah. That was a total slip of the tongue. I wasn't trying to make a statement. Tell me more about her as a person.
Oh, as a person, she's very, like I said, a free spirit. And she's, I like to say that she's a punk, but it's not, it's more in her spirit. Like she's very free and she does what she wants to do. And she tries a lot of different ways of doing music. And her poetry is very with a lot of images, and it can be very, my words in English, but it's like what she sees on human, she has this way to look at human and put it in poetry that is very sometimes tender but sometimes cruel. She takes a tender yet cruel look at the human race, and she puts it on the music or in poetry. She has like 19 albums that she created since she was like maybe 20 years old. And then the last one was 2 years ago, Terre-Neuve. And she always criticized the society in which she lived in, but it's always in an act that, like, you don't imagine, but the way she puts lights on the society and criticize it, but always in a way of maybe a lot of absurdity. Mm-hmm. But all the poetry goes out, and it's very interesting the way she plays with words. And like she's really creative. She has 30 books that she wrote, either poetry or novels, or and she's like a multidisciplinary, and she likes to play a lot. She doesn't want to be an adult. I mean, like, she still wants to keep her
child. She wants to keep her childlike
self.
Exactly.
I'm speaking
with the artist Isabelle Rancier, who is the creator and co-director of Carré de Cendre dans le Silage de Brigitte Fontaine. And you're talking mm-hmm. about what draws you to her. She was so prolific. It's wild. So how do you as an artist go about transforming this into, and the reason we're talking about the show is that it does have theatrical components to it, as well as the musical elements. Tell us about what we can expect at this performance.
Yeah, well, I put the show in a park at night. There's mm-hmm. two women in a park at night, and they're going to be transformed by the poetry and the music of Brigitte Fontaine. And it's Carré de Cendre for me is we say it in English. You said it to me again in English. It means. When you translate Carré de Cendre,
I was thinking like a square of ash or ashen square.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I like to think about it. It evokes a sandbox where you can play without constraints, with the carefree of a childhood, and the ashes is in the other end, the symbolize of the ephemeral, the fragility of life. Death at the end of all things. So this is when we talk about the ash, it's like it means fire, and it means at the same time, it's the like when you say ash, it brings us to the smoke, and it's like the ancestral means the means of the communication. You know, when they smoke, and the smoke goes. In the air, it's the connection between the heaven and the earth. This is how I wanted to create it. And I work with a very fantastic pianist. She does the prepared piano. I don't know if you know what is prepared piano.
No, tell
me. She does the regular piano playing. But sometimes she goes inside of the piano and she will use like objects to transform the sound of the piano. So it brings us like very a very beautiful way of hearing the piano. It's very different than what we hear usually. So she used to be a classical music, and after she like now her name is Fabienne Lucet, and she does now music for film. She's a film musician. She does some music for films. So she likes to do a very, how do we say this? It becomes mystical when she plays with the piano when it's not the regular piano. So it brings us in a very special world.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show it with this creation. I wanted to bring all the the facet.
Isabel, I'm so sorry. I have to cut you off here because we're just coming to the top of the hour. But thank you so much for coming on the show to tell us about Brigitte and what inspires you about her. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I hope my English is not too good, but I hope
you did a fabulous job. Thank you so much
for being here.
Isabel's show will be at Théâtre Outremont for one night only, April 25th, a week from tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in to Upstage this evening. I'm Sarah Day. I'll be back with you next week for more stories about theater in this beautiful city. Up next is Grey Matters with my friend Fortner Anderson.
CKUT is looking for someone to join our team as the chair of the board of directors. Our board of directors reads the fine print, approves the annual budget, engages in community outreach, and keeps CKUT's eye on the bigger picture. The board meets for 2 hours every month, and the chair circulates agendas, keeps meetings organized, and acts as a liaison between the outside world and the board. If you're passionate about the station, this is an opportunity to help lead CKUT into a new era of community media. For more information, please send a message to admin@ckut.ca.
Production Nuit d'Afrique invites you to the gala of the 17th edition of Nuit d'Or de la Musique du Monde. See you on Tuesday, April 25th at La Tulipe from 8 p.m. onwards. Come out and support your favorite artists to help them win the Cine d'Or d'Argent and des Bronzes. Le Cine d'Or de la Musique du Monde is a celebration that brings the cultures of the world together. For more information, visit cinedor.com.
Experimental electronic meets a modern-day 80s indie pop rock daydream. Adam Ma is no stranger to creating evocative music. His newest album, Year of the Dog, explores themes surrounding navigating long-term relationships, nostalgia baiting, and the music industry's current state, with appearances from Jordan Lawler, Royal, and Riki. Listen to Adam Ma's latest album, Year of the Dog.